Shut up and sit down.
Hello and welcome to episode 48 of Geek Grills, a podcast in which geeky women, and sometimes guests, gather to record topical conversation and then offer it to the masses. The Geek Grills podcast is supported solely by our patrons. Please check us out at www.patreon.com/grills. I'm September, also known as 9 of 12, and I'm here with my co-host, The Jen.
Hello!
Hi.
So what have you been up to this geeky week?
So I certainly haven't been playing Heroes of the Storm like I'm an obsessed fool. Oh wait, yes I have. So I am playing so much Hero League. I just want to get to Silver. I just have set it as my goal that I'm going to get to Silver. I started at Bronze 5. I'm now Bronze 2. So I am getting closer. Yesterday, if my team had not been a bunch of tool fucking toxic tool bags, I would have had a promotion match to get to Bronze 1. So I can taste it. I can taste it. Well, you know, it's been really fun, and, like, I'm earning loot boxes, so I feel like I'm getting little presents, and I have different... Oh, now I've got a new skin to try. I'm actually trying heroes that I don't normally play, so that I have a wide range of rotation. I don't know if it's because my MMR is highest, but apparently I have to ban in every... about 90% of the games I play in, I have to be the one who bans, which I like, because then I can ban stuff, and then the last game I played... Where it was the one that, again, if I had won, I would have had a promotion match to Bronze 1 in the next game. Well, I wasn't the banner, and everything I normally ban, like, all of the different things I normally ban, not banned, and they were played by the other team, and they stomped our faces in. And I was like, this is why I said you should ban Dahaka on this map. It's also why I said you should ban Malfurion as a healer on this map. It's also why I said if you didn't want to ban either of those, you should ban Valyra on this map. Like, I'm just like, I want the control.
You're all, like, heavy in the meta now.
Yeah, oh yeah, no, I'm in it now. I'm in it now. I understand the maps. I'm reading stuff. I just want to get friggin' silver, man. I just want to know that I'm not in the shittiest rank of heroes. You know, again, I don't need to be Grandmaster or Platinum or Diamond or all that shit. I know I'm not good enough for that. But I just feel like I'm not Bronze 5, and I just want to, like, prove it. You know what I mean? And I feel like getting to Silver would just be like, yes, I'm not a fucking Bronze player anymore. So anyway, that's been maybe a little obsessive, Jen. Calm down. I also have been... I haven't been painting this week with my models, but I did buy my army box for my circle... my circle army for Warma Hordes, and so I had pieces to put together, and most of them, you know, cleaning up mold lines and super gluing things together, not very difficult, except for Chroma. He is a little dick, and it took me 2 hours, 2 pairs of tweezers, a lot of prayer, and cursing. It was ridiculous. I'm trying to glue these stupid little fucking, like, horn accent bullshit things in, and then I finally get him in the right position, but then the super glue I put on too heavy, so then I have to hold it for like 5 minutes because it's not drying fast. I mean, I'll tell you, it was rough, but I did it. So I'll be priming those this weekend, and then I get to start painting some of those models. So I'm excited to paint a few new models. That'll be pretty fun.
Poor Jen. All that grief because of a little dick, you needed 2 pair of tweezers.
I know. I just couldn't believe, like, I was seriously just like, can I have another fucking arm right now? I mean, it was insane the things I had to do to get this stupid little tusk thing positioned in the right. Anyway, it was I got it. That's what matters. I did finish Jessica Jones, the season that's on Netflix, of course. I went back and I did finally finish it. I loved it. It was amazing. I feel stupid for not watching it for as long as I did because it was awesome. That also allows me now to start on American Gods and Handmaid's Tale. because I need to watch both of those. And then I watched a really cool documentary called Drag Becomes Him, which was put together by Jarek, or Jinx Monsoon, who was one of the winner of season 5 of RuPaul's Drag Race. And he made, he, in conjunction with someone else, made a documentary called Drag Becomes Him about his journey as a drag queen, becoming a drag queen, the interactions with his family. It was really interesting. I actually really enjoyed it, and I highly recommend that anybody who has an interest in drag or is curious by, you know, or, you know, enjoys RuPaul's Drag Race or any of that stuff, to check it out. I had to pay like $2 to rent it on Amazon, because sadly I couldn't find anywhere else to stream, but for $2, whatever, it's like a red box, right? But it's called Drag Becomes Him, and it was really good. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was interesting what he had to say about gender but also just not being afraid to go after what you want and having that be okay. Because I think he was afraid of being competitive, but then there was that moment where he was like, okay, it's okay to be competitive if I'm working and improving my craft and doing what I'm doing and wanting to be the best at what I do, but staying true to who he was in that process, is really inspiring. So I thought it was cool.
Right on.
Yeah. So that's me.
Well, I played some Hearthstone this week. It was fairly casual, but loads of fun. I stayed up all night long playing in Illuminati HS stream and had a good time just hanging out with him, listening to music, helping him with Justice stuff. Again, which I did in his very first stream, but it was funny. He's got this mod now who's like this 21-year-old, and it was like, welcome, new person. And I'm like, holy crap, I'm a noob. Like, I miss a day.
Like, I'm gone one day, I come back, somebody.
But I'm a mod now, and I was helping with some stuff. And then I broke the stream because we tried to get in Discord together, and like his sound settings were off, and it was like, whoops, okay, that's not working. But we played together a little too, which was fun. And we were supposed to play Left 4 Dead 2 with part-time gamers this week for the YouTube channel. And again, we didn't get to. Like, the first time, this is like a saga. The first time, I had the best time, and I couldn't believe it. And then the video was glitchy and crap, and he couldn't put it up. So then he got an upgrade, and then something else happened. Then this week, we're all good to go, and Zach couldn't make it. And Sean was kind of like, well, with two, it's not going to be as good for a presentation, and we need another person. And I hit the Dill Slack, and they tapped their D&D group, and just, like, no one was available. So, I was like, well, why don't we play Hearthstone? There's new cards, there's new stuff coming soon. We've never done that on the YouTube channel. And I haven't been making any time to play. I hadn't played in a while. So, I was like, okay, well, we'll be casual. So we did Brawls together, and then we did a standard duel, and Sean was just like kicking my ass all over the place. until we did a wild duel. And we decided, all right, let's do wild duel and make the decks. And it's like, okay, so I had my old ass aggro pally, and I switched a few things, make it, you know, wild. And I got to win with I for an I.
Oh, God. Oh, it's the worst secret ever. That's amazing.
It was so great. Well, because it came up with a discover. Like, I pulled a card and I got to discover a secret. I for an I was in it. And I'm like, I just been getting my ass kicked. And just in case I get that eye for an eye moment, I have to pick it, right? And then that's the way it happened. He got this big 8-8 on the board and went for the face and killed himself. And I'm like, don't forget to tag Jocelyn and the Angry Chicken when you post this.
That's hilarious. That's awesome.
So that was a pretty epic game tale for anyone who out there who understands what we're talking about, eye for an eye, it does the same amount of damage to the person that just hit you, that they hit you with.
It's just a fun way to win.
And it doesn't usually work. it's usually just a bad, bad choice. But when it does work, it's a great story. So Rob and I went to see the new Alien movie. I will not give any spoilers. I will say I like it. I like the direction they've taken, like with Prometheus and this, of it being a little more psychological horror, more plot. That's the kind of horror I prefer. But I had some disappointments in just little things like... Man... Just little things. I can't really say anything without spoiling it. But, yeah. So what else? I guess that's it, right? Oh, so before the Alien movie, I missed, and if anybody knows, write in or call us and let me know, because we came in a little late. So when I walked in the theater, I heard Personal Jesus by Depeche Mode playing, and I started running, because I wanted to know what trailer was using it, and... I didn't get there in time, and I don't know. And I really want to know, because with other trailers we saw, we got to see a new Star Wars trailer, and that was pretty freaking epic to see. And Blade Runner was a really great trailer. Holy crap, I'm so hot for that movie. And the dudes in the movie. But... So, other than that...
I actually saw that trailer... Mm-hmm. Not to discourage interaction, but I did see that trailer. So I know what trailer it is.
What is it?
It is a movie called Atomic Blonde with Charlize Theron.
I will have to look it up.
Actually, what's really interesting is there's a bunch of good music in it, and it was directed by the same person that directed John Wick, so, and I love Charlize Theron, so that's why I saw it. Should be good. Okay. I'm actually kind of interested.
All right. And for TV, Rob and I have been watching Ash vs. Evil Dead. It's kind of what we do before bed.
That seems like a good thing to do before bed.
So with that out of the way, or catching up with everyone, I guess it's time for the Geek Grapevine. So, I got so squee excited jumping up and down to find out that Netflix is, in fact, making the prequel using puppets to The Dark Crystal. And it's actually the Jim Henson Company, and it's... I love The Dark Crystal. And I think this is a really good place for it, to make it a series that is telling the prequel stories that I understand already... they're probably going to be using the same storyline that was in the comic book series that was done. And, yeah, I'm super excited about that. I freaking love The Dark Crystal.
That's awesome. Yeah, that could be really cool. It's really exciting when you see it's going to be in the right hands. And I'll be honest, I've not been unhappy with anything that fucking Netflix has done. I'm not going to lie. Some people haven't enjoyed... Okay, some people didn't like... Iron Fist, or, you know, a couple things, but I fucking love Netflix shows.
Yep. So, man, Amazon are doing a really good job.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. Amazon's been doing pretty good, too. Hulu, what was their original show? I tried to watch it, and it was a couple of them, and it was... Anyway, Netflix is awesome. I think that'd be really cool. I like that it's Jim Henson Company. I think... There is such a nostalgia bone here, of course. And I'm excited about that. So, yeah, no, I'm glad you included that. So, I was a little sad this week. A little sad is actually really minimizing it. I grew up... There is some studies that are done that say the music that you listen to, like, between the ages of 12 and 16, that's going to be the music that resonates with you for, like, the rest of your, like, that's the stuff that is going to be the important music to you. because of, you know, the time in your life when you're becoming just adolescence and all that stuff. Anyway, my words are not coming to me in the way I want to explain this. But anyway, so for me, in a lot of ways, that was the grunge sound. That was that stuff. Also punk because of the people I hung out with. But needless to say, Soundgarden was a huge part of that for me. A huge part. So Chris Cornell passed this week. He was only 52. He was the lead singer for Soundgarden, and then, of course, Audioslave, which came later. And he was that voice. Everybody, even if you don't know, it was funny. I was talking to a friend of mine. They were like, I don't think I know any songs. And I was like, I sent a link. And they're like, oh, yeah, I know this song. Oh, yeah, and he also does that other song. They know that voice. They may not realize because he has one of those voices that is just unmistakable. It's really unfortunate. It sounds like the news coming out of the news says that it was a suicide. So that's particularly frustrating because, you know, it's always sad to hear the struggle and that people feel like that's the only option that they have left. I know he struggled with drug use in his early teens. I know that was a story he talked about. Many times when he was interviewed by Rolling Stone or in other times when he was working with Soundgarden. So, yeah, okay. That was tough this week.
I will say for more talk on our discussing previously about the music that sticks with us, you can go back to episode 26, Soundtracks of Our Lives, where we talk about that too. And it sounds like you have not heard the update from Chris Cornell's wife.
So when the announcement first came out, she was incredibly cagey and she was saying, oh, something happened, be respectful, you don't need to know anymore. And then now she put out a new update and it makes things feel like we don't really know the whole story of what happened because of how she was reacting to things.
He's taking Ativan, he was on, you know, psychotropic medications for his depression. He was starting to act a little off, and she had called, I guess, and had some of the crew check on him, is how he was found. But it was because of, you know, her speaking to him, and he seemed off, and he was like, I may have taken too many, like, your meds don't work, you take another one, and he kind of forgot how many he took, and it may have been an accidental overdose, not a suicide, of his psych meds. So that's the story out there right now.
That is good, and I think I just found that article. I'll include this. Is it the one where Chris Cornell's wife issues a statement, blames anxiety medication for suicide, is the article title, though.
And, I mean, I'm very familiar with this. I mean, it's this crazy, unfortunate, like, really, like, the side effects of your medication for your depression or anxiety are often suicidal thoughts. And, because, like, I've been going through this with my son and stuff, like, adjusting medication and, like, have to be constantly vigilant about if that happens.
Anytime we bring up suicide, I do think it's also very important to mention that there are things that you can do if you're ever feeling, and even if, you know, you're just feeling really down and you need somebody to talk to. The National Suicide Prevention Lifeline is a resource that's available 24 hours a day, 1-800-273-8255. And I just feel like it's necessary to mention that because
absolutely.
I just want people to know that that's there. And they, again, 24 hours a day. I'm not going to lie, I have called this line, and maybe it wasn't suicidal thoughts for me, but maybe it was just making a better decision about how I was acting, you know, for avoiding self-harm, and they were there for me at that time, so don't be afraid to make a call if you don't have someone else to call.
And in the same context, because I had talked with a friend about this earlier this week on Facebook, it's not enough to just say, you know, there's a place you can go and here call and post-suicide prevention hotline. If someone is withdrawing and someone's kind of like out of character, disappearing, not around, they may be depressed. Go to their house. Call them. They're not capable always, if it's bad, of reaching out or feeling like they should or can. Like, that step, when it's actually getting to suicidal ideation, is not likely to just be taken on its own. So don't be afraid to actually reach out to people.
100% agree. And yeah, so so that was a little tough for me this week. Sorry to be a downer, but you know, sometimes we gotta have some real talk too. It's not, you know, there are serious topics, and I guess I'm just not afraid to bring those up because I think they need to be talked about.
Yeah, I mean, the stigma is real. It's not doing anybody any good. Okay, so there is a video I have linked that they have posted at Nerdist.com with the first look at Mira in the...
I didn't realize she was playing Mira, by the way, and I'm so excited.
Yeah, that kind of rocks. I'm like, whoo, and we get another girl hero, finally.
He is a sexy man. You know, I'm going to tell you, it is not very often I look at a man and I'm like, damn, he's hot.
Well,
what the
and usually
fuck,
big
man?
Cut, bumpy, muscly is like too much, and I'm kind of like, but he's just freaking perfectly statuesque.
So, anyway, her name is Amber Herds, in case I didn't clarify
so,
that.
Yeah, Herd.
yeah, I heard that it was Amber Herds, Mira. Yeah, I saw this too, and I couldn't believe it. She looks. This movie's gonna be tough. It's gonna be good. I'm gonna be like, eye candy, eye candy, eye candy.
And it was like, Aquaman? Like, that, I gotta respect trying to give Aquaman some due, because, boy, he's taken a lot of grief over the years as being, like, the just lousiest hero ever, so.
So, can he swim really well? What does he do?
He can talk to fish.
He can... So can you talk to my goldfish? Like, I just think of all the jokes that people make.
That's useful.
So speaking of...
A crime scene investigator, and he can, like, go talk to the fish that saw the whole thing.
I feel like there's a joke about sleeping with the fishes here, but I'm going to just avoid it. So anyway, in more positive movie news... Wonder Woman, yes! Wonder Woman is getting positive reviews. So the press got to get their first view of Wonder Woman. And they did, of course, mention, maybe there was some issues with the third act. That's cool, whatever, fuck it. But what they did say is that the standouts for the film was the humor, the heart of the film, lots of praise for Gal Gadot, and her portrayal of the hero. And I think it's really good. And then, you know, one of the reasons I linked this article in particular is because it does call out the fact that, holy shit, there is a lot of pressure that is on this film. So the film is not only it's the first time it's a superheroine solo film. It's the first live action film that is entirely about Wonder Woman, and it's one of the first films out of the DCEU. So it's like, holy crap, can you just pile more shit onto this movie and its expectations? So I think that reviews coming out and saying that the reviews are good or great, that's fantastic. That is great news. That's what we need to see. A couple of the tweets from people that have seen it from the press say things like, Wonder Woman is a DC movie I've been waiting for. It's exciting, inspiring, funny, and has some truly awe-inspiring action scenes. There are certainly some issues like a mismatched third act, but I'll discuss that in a longer review. Overall, the Wonder Woman rules. So I think that's pretty much the best you can fucking ask for. And I am so glad, because I want this movie to kick ass. So yeah.
I believe in you, DC.
Come on. I want to believe. Yeah.
Come on.
Totally. So, I... Well... googly to make sure I had grabbed all the stories for this week, I stumbled upon a Kickstarter that's now been live for 6 days, which is a companion. Well, it's a companion to Pugmire, which I also didn't know existed. Now, Pugmire, you think fantasy tabletop game. Pugmire. Maybe it's a cool swampy area. No. It literally is take fantasy characters and put your pet dog's heads on top of it and then play characters. One of the creators described Pugmire as Lord of the Rings meets Planet of the Apes, but with dogs. So there you go. So that's pretty cool that this exists. Now, for the past 6 days, the group that brought you Pugmire is now launching Monarchies of Mal Fantasy Tabletop RPG. That is Pugmire, but with cats. So again, imagine fantasy heroes with giant swords and armor, but with the heads of your house cat on top.
now, it's kind of odd looking. Like you were. It brought to mind Redwall, but now I'm looking at this art and going, no, it's just they stuck heads on people like that.
It kind of reminds me of the dogs playing poker pictures, but like with a tabletop RPG. So how much, you ask, would such a book cost to make on Kickstarter? $20,000. How much, would you ask, have they already earned toward that goal? $72,000.
Kicking ass.
That's awesome.
Pugmire must have been really good and workable, because these are people who are like...
They were like, I liked Pugmire, and now I want cats. Now, do have to laugh. Their ranks for their Kickstarter are really awesome. Like, there's one where it's kittens and puppies living together, and that's one that gives you Pugmire and this one, because it's like, if you missed the Pugmire Kickstarter, here's a way to get the one, a game of heroic dogs. So, you know, kind of funny, and, like, they're definitely playing with that. And to be honest, the creators of this have been involved with Onyx Path and the creation of the new editions of... Werewolf the Apocalypse and Vampire the Masquerade and the upcoming Changeling. So, I mean, these are all people that that do make good work. So I'm not surprised, that this is actually like a legitimately fun game, but definitely not what I expected to exist in the world. And I had to share that.
Because well, I have not? To share my very first impression. You said, how do you feel about tabletop with cats? I'm like, they just knock all the pieces off the table. That sounds like a pain in the ass.
That sounds fucking terrible. You're not actually playing with cats, so that's kind of cool. But yeah.
So, I found you a spill story, Jen, but don't cry.
Oh, why would I cry?
Because it's spilled milk.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. All right, hold on. I got to look at this. All right, let's see. Oh, my God. This was fairly recent, too. This was, like, less than a month ago. Port yep. Huron Township in Michigan. Oh, Jesus. You know what they say. There's no use crying over spilled milk. A tanker truck carrying 11,000 gallons of milk rolled over. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Oh my
See,
God.
See what they need for the. They need to send the cats of Mal to.
Yes, to go clean up that spill. Oh my God. I don't. Like, my appreciation for spill stories is kind of unreasonable.
No. They make the news because they're, like, epic and interesting.
I know, but I feel silly that I find them so fascinating. Like, maybe it's just it's like a lighthearted aspect of the news. I mean, and weird, crazy shit happening humors me.
Well, we don't think about like how dependent we are on trucks, right? And on highways.
Oh, I know. Like, people are like, okay, so the price of gas went up. Why do my eggs cost more? Because your eggs got to travel from where they came out of a chicken's butt to get processed to then go to a fucking grocery store, man. Like,
right?
definitely do not recognize the cost and expense and challenges of all of that.
Well, I'm sorry I couldn't find one to top the bees, but...
Yeah, I know. I don't think we're going to... I am hard-pressed to find one that tops bees, but spilt milk is pretty good.
And it coincidentally ended up with cats.
Yeah.
Today, our main topic, we're going to go through some stuff about science. Genetic science in particular is something there's been a lot of news about, and we've wanted to... You know, spend a little time on DNA, stem cells. I wanted to make sure, I mean, I hear about the CRISPR gene and the big shift happening in the research in the industries that are involved around it. So, and Jen works in an adjacent, like, in the field, so.
From my heart and from my hand, why don't people understand my intention?
You want to kick this off with your dreams of science?
Yeah, so when I was younger, I mean, middle school, well, I thought I was going to be an astronaut, and then my shitty seventh grade history teacher was like, you can't be an astronaut, you wear glasses, which, by the way, was bullshit, but I believed her. So then I decided I wanted to be a planetary scientist, and that was going to be what I was going to do instead. I was going to be a planetary scientist for NASA, and then I got into high school, and I discovered biology and genetics. My biology teacher, freshman year of high school, I was living near Chicago at the time in one of the best school districts in the country, and my biology teacher was working for the Human Genome Project in which was happening in Chicago. I don't know if everybody remembers that. And then we did like a fruit fly thing, which we were only supposed to like have to do one generation, but she like let those of us that wanted to for extra credit push further and actually push to multiple generations. So I actually took my fruit flies to 17 generations, which, by the way, when you're at a giant high school and it takes like 7 minutes to get from one side of the high school to the other, if you are running, getting to the freezer and making sure that I catch my fruit flies before they get, like, before the wrong boys have sex with them is way more complicated than you think. But anyway, so that really just sponsored this real interest in genetics, and I was so fascinated by it, and I wanted to understand chromosomes and DNA, and oh my gosh, and like Huntington's disease is caused by this repetition. What can we do to get rid of that repetition? And that was around the time where people were just starting to talk about gene editing. Like, is it possible? Is it something we should do? Is it something that... Anyway, fascinated by genetics, and I just decided that that's where I was going to be. I was going to work, and I wanted to be in science. Fast forward a few years, I get to college. I take a literature class, and I'm like, ooh, I really want to do literature. Then I take a politics class, and I really want to do politics. I just want to spend 4 years studying things where there isn't always a right answer. and I realized that the idea of squeezing micropipettes for years and years and years, I absolutely respect it, but that is just not for me. So when I realized that that was the reality of working in science, was just sitting in labs, looking at numbers, it just wasn't, that's just not my personality, that's not the right place for me. But I respect the shit out of it because there needs to be people that are willing to do that. And so that's probably why, I've worked in call centers for more than 12 years now. And this is the first time working in a call center that I have felt that I truly love the company I work for. And I can mean that with every part of my being. I actually get to work for a newborn stem cell bank, a family newborn stem cell bank. So to be fair, people do pay for our services to preserve their baby's cord blood stem cells and cord tissue. So I get to work in a science adjacent position. I'm in the sales department. I use that with the biggest air quotes I can because it's very consultative. These are families that are pretty sure that they want to do this, I'm just helping them get the right services. It's the least salesy job I've ever had in call center sales, so I'm really hesitant to use that word. But what has been really cool is that I get to work for a company that is heavily invested in science, heavily invested in research, and I got to learn about it, where we actually are with stem cells. And mind you,
I want to ask, because I know it is an expensive service to bank stem cells and newborns. So how competitive is it? I mean, how many companies are there?
There's a lot, and new banks popping up all the time. The hard part is that it's the one thing I always tell families is that this is a long-term relationship. You're not storing stem cells for them to be used for treatment tomorrow. I mean, that's the reality. Right. So there has to be a certain amount of trust with the company that you're working with. And one of the benefits that we have is that I work for the company that was started by the scientist at the University of Arizona who proved that you could cryopreserve cord blood stem cells. And he was the one that helped us kick off back when that started. And one thing I love about it is this is how courageous and forward-thinking he was. So he worked in blood and immunology, I think, or something like that. Specifically, I might be misquoting that. But anyway, he knew that this could be done. He was convinced that the cord blood stem cells could be cryopreserved. So he got a sample that he had rights over. So he cryopreserved his son's cord blood stem cells to prove that it could be done.
Sure.
And I love it. I love that, like, there's just something about that, you know, that courage and that, you know, no, I know this is a thing and I'm going to do it. But so when I say that, I mention it because there are banks that pop up and there are banks that are really cheap that are out there. But unfortunately, you know, they outsource it to they're not actually storing or processing, they're outsourcing that to another company. So you have to trust that, okay, if 15 years from now these stem cells are needed for a treatment, is that company even going to exist? Maybe not.
Yeah, it's a scary prospect to look at.
Absolutely. And that's probably one of the most challenging, that's probably the most common question I get from families that want to preserve is, how do I know you're going to be here in 20 years? Well, it's like, yeah. Unfortunately, I don't have a crystal ball. But that being said, I think that there's a lot of responsibility on companies to be financially stable. But, you know, I'm glad you brought up the cost thing. I mean, the cost has gone down significantly, I would say, in the last 5-7 years. It used to be thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars to do it. Now, you know, payment plans, different things, definitely making it accessible to families, which I really like. And I like that our company cares about that. Our company even has a program where if there's an immediate medical need for stem cells and it's one of the proven conditions that can be treated using cord blood stem cells or different caveats, we actually have a program where they can talk to one of our genetic counselors and qualify for free banking, because we want to make sure that families are utilizing their newborn stem cells. And we're so invested in that research that we offer that service for free when there's an opportunity to use the stem cells, so that we can, again, have more examples of newborn stem cells being used for treatment. So I think that's a really cool program, too, and a really awesome thing that we participate in.
Yeah. Before we go into a little more about that, I want to say, like, oh, wait, whoops, maybe we'll do another show at another time. It occurs to me, I know an expert that we could have had on as a guest, like who studied genetics and did really cool research. I remember him, my friend Tony, talking to me about when they were working with spider silk, but like there was this angle research to solving, it was HIV-related research.
Sure. I mean, there's so many things.
It was just like amazing. And now he ended up in botany as a profession, too. So there's like, but I'm sure it'd be really interesting to talk.
Yeah, I think we should definitely do a follow-up. One thing I do want to say is that I just want to clarify, like, give my 20
seconds. Back to stem cells.
What the fuck a stem cell is, because I think that there's just so much confusion, and I really like to make sure that this gets said, because again, there's so much misinformation out there, and I'm by no means.
I wasn't trying to skip. I was just.
No! I agree, and I would love to talk to that person. So we definitely need to do another episode, because especially because I have the articles that I. Okay, so I am a total, because I chose not to go into the profession of science. Science has become my hobby, and it's to the point where one of the genetic counselors at work knows this. So when something happens, or the research assistants that work with her will pull me aside and be like, "Oh, did you see this article?" And they are always keeping me abreast. And then there's those times where they say, "Okay, now of course this is not something you want to explain to a client because they're not going to quite understand. But here's what's happening with this, this, and the other thing." You know, because it's information that's not quite. You know, we don't want to give any information for studies that it's not accurate and all that. But I do love the fact that I have that relationship with the scientists at my work. And it's really awesome that I get to have science be a hobby because of... It's a little funky, you know? It's kind of a weird thing. But I do love science. I have always been such a science nerd. Yeah, and so...
quality, like your environment can be improved by something like that for sure.
Yeah, I really, and it's really interesting to, as I said, kind of being in a science adjacent, you know, role is fun. So what is a stem cell? So I think that's important to mention. So a stem cell is a cell, they use the term undifferentiated cell. Basically, it's a stem cell is a cell that can become a different type of cell. So what... the cord blood stem cells, they become the blood and immune system in the body. So the blood and immune cells, the type of stem cell that's in cord tissue, it becomes connective tissue and structural tissue in the body. That would be things like cartilage, muscle, bone. So these are newborn stem cells. So to clarify one of the most important areas that needs to be clarified, these are not controversial stem cells. The controversial stem cells are embryonic stem cells. An embryonic stem cell comes from a fetus. It comes from an embryo. And an embryonic stem cell can become any type of stem cell in the body. So they're controversial because you do have to destroy an embryo to be able to get those type of stem cells. The stem cells that come from newborns are not controversial at all. They're the same type of stem cells that you have in your bone marrow, in your teeth, in your fat. I would love to donate my adipose tissue to whoever needs my stem cells. No. terrible joke. But they're the same type of stem cells you have as an adult. The benefit is that the matching, the perfect match to baby, so that there's a potential to use them in clinical trials, because clinical trials typically require you to use your own sample because they don't want to have any host versus graft issues or anything like that. So in clinical trials for research using cord blood stem cells, they have them use their own cells. So the benefit to newborn stem cells specifically is it's a source that hasn't been compromised by what we eat, breathe, do with our bodies for however many years. And then the other benefit is the genetic match to baby. That's or siblings as well. So that's the real benefit, but they are absolutely not controversial stem cells. And I think that is one of the most important things to mention, because I am on chat for my company. So I get questions like, are you growing babies? Or people that if they decide to stop storing with us, they want to make sure we destroy the cells because they're convinced that we're going to grow a clone of their baby. No, none of that is happening. none of that is real. And again, these are not controversial. There's no...
But I saw it on Gotham.
Yeah, right. I saw it on a TV show, so it must be real. You know, and I think the reason it's important to mention that is because there are, you know, religious and ethical questions that come up with, are you playing God? No, none of this is playing God. It's just advanced science. It's just saying, hey, you know what? We can use stem cells to help, it's just like a bone marrow transplant. I mean, shit, how many years have we been doing bone marrow transplants for leukemia? Okay, well, the benefit is you can use cord blood stem cells from that baby's brother, and that means typically better outcomes because you're not going to have as many samples from related donors typically provide better response. Again, because related donors, it's a related donor, not just a matching donor. So I always just, it's one of those things that I get really hot and bothered when people are like, oh, the ethics of it, oh, the ethics of it. There's no ethics question. Now, sure, I'm glad you linked this because it was something I was going to link here because I actually listened to it when it was on NPR. And it's funny because I don't know if you noticed, but the article that you linked is from Arizona Public Media because I actually heard it. And I
when Brad well, it was on Weekend Edition, so I actually heard it here too when it happened.
Oh, that's so funny. Yeah. So it was. It was really great, and it talks about the real ethical questions, which is gene editing, which is,
yeah,
holy shit, that's what we're talking about.
Was a leap that, yes, and the experience that people are actually doing, people aren't in the heads of like research scientists and how they work and why they would do such a thing. They just went, they're mixing people and animals and just blah.
Yeah, and the thing is that people don't realize that we've been studying sharks for years and years and years because of, I think it's their ability to regenerate, I think, and then, and so we're trying to understand how that happens so that we can, you know, do a better job of that, and it's one of those things where I think that people get scared. People do get scared. It's scary. It is scary. I mean, who would have thought, you know, that we could get to a point where we could grow a lamb that's barely more than a fetus in a bag, you know, like that's crazy. But at the same, you know, and I posted that, and of course my Facebook blew up with people that are like, this is amazing. And then other people that were like, this is fucked up. And you know, there's all these different sides to things. And I think that, with any advancement, ethics and science don't, the ethics and the social norms and the legal questions can't even keep up. I want to remember exactly what it was I was watching, what episode it was of Bill Nye Saves the World, but one of the panels mentioned that specifically, that said, like, look, you know, we want to make sure that things are ethical and legal, but that's a slow process. And so the challenge is that the ethics and the legality can't always keep up with the advancement that's happening in science. And that's why it's really, the onus is on the scientist to think about all aspects of what they are doing. And because, again, this CRISPR thing, with the gene editing, we're talking about not just, okay, can I get rid of certain conditions? Like, again, I bring up Huntington's disease, because Huntington's disease is specifically caused by a genetic mutation and a repetition of the HAG factors of DNA, right? So if we can edit DNA, then naturally the idea is we could edit that out, right? And edit that out of DNA so that somebody would not get Huntington's disease. That's great. But it does get to the point where we're starting to talk about, okay, can I decide that I want blue eyes in my baby? Can I decide that I want my baby to be tall? Can I decide that I want my baby to have a mesomorph body type versus, you know, something else? There's all of these questions that start to come up, and it is important. And again, that onus, I think, in a lot of ways, is on the scientist to look at that and make good decisions. But gosh, the legality, it just cannot keep up. I mean,
Well, yeah, and I mean, people are worried about that, and I understand because of all kinds of, you know, racial issues and everything else, like this idea that people are going to start just trying to create a master race and what that is, but we can't throw the baby out
like
the bathwater when we can.
And their eugenics programs?
And eugenics. Well, how about here in North Carolina, they had a eugenics program. Yeah, so there's that. It's I mean, it's recent, and it does need to be paid attention to as we evolve toward that. But we can't throw it away and go, oh, my God, no, when, you know, you could grow a pancreas and switch it out and completely cure somebody's diabetes, you know?
Yeah. And then have you seen Repo, the Genetic Opera? I highly recommend watching that.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah, but I mean, we just, yeah, it's hard to keep up with. It's hard to understand. But yeah. I mean, I recommend everybody go to good sources. Places like NPR, look up.
They do the research.
Go to colleges that are actually doing the research.
Yep.
Right? To read about and understand what they are doing with it rather than just getting scared of the evil that can. Mm-hmm. You can use science for evil or good. My son Connor is, you know, really gifted, and he had this science teacher in elementary school here. Mrs. Dash, which is just another funny little side story I'll have to talk about. But she was just constantly reminding him, and it stuck with him, like, because he was smart. And it was like, use your power for good. Just remember to use your power for good. Because he's got that mad scientist gene. I know he's got the mad scientist gene. He hasn't seen his biological father since he was, like, two, but he's got the mad scientist gene. And his bio dad is always like, inventing things and building like a rail gun and build a Jacob's ladder in his parents' basement and almost burn the house down. Like, she saw the mad scientist gene and was like, use your power for good.
Yeah, and I think it comes back down. It's kind of like with a medical doctor, you know, you take the oath, right? That you're always gonna do your best for your patients, right? Yeah, do no harm. And I think in a lot of ways, scientists have to do the same. I mean, I do get that question sometimes, too. Like, I heard that they can grow organs from stem cells. Yeah, not yet. Not yet. Definitely something that they're looking at because of, you know, things like diabetes. And you know, wouldn't it be great if we could find some ways? I know in other areas, macular degeneration is another area. People like myself that have experience, I mean, I'm so nearsighted. I had a retinal detachment at the age of 21. You know, obviously my eyes are kind of fucked, you know? And if there was a treatment I could do to make my eyes not be kind of fucked, that would be great.
Yeah, actually, there's an interesting thing I just found out this week. Now when they're doing, like, cataract surgery, you know, they're just going ahead and popping in new lenses while they're at it?
Yeah.
They apparently did that to my... Yeah, like, wow, okay. What kind of... I gotta make sure I have good enough medical coverage for that to happen when
I think it's so positive that I work for a company that is, we spend so much money on research. I mean, at this point, I mean, and not just the clinical trials that we sponsor, and of course, you know, universities are the ones that actually do the clinical trials. We just pay for it, you know. That's kind of, we leave that to them, you know. They're the experts. We just help with the funding. But, you know, clinical trials for things like cerebral palsy and pediatric stroke, acquired hearing loss, and then autism, which I know is controversial. And I know we've even had some conversations about that, you know, about how you feel about, you know, treating autism with stem cell therapies. But, you know, it's still just, again, it feels good to work for the company that was the first of the private stem cell banks to say, you know what, we're going to invest in research. We're going to do research. We're going to spend as much of our money as we can on these different things so that these stem cells will become more important to our families that are paying for our service. Because, you know, at the point when we started preserving stem cells, there weren't really any proven treatments yet. It was just, okay, we can store these. Now, here we go, fast forward 25 years later, there are 80-plus conditions that the FDA says are approved treatments that can be treated, FDA-approved treatments using stem cells derived from umbilical cord blood. Like, that's amazing. That's awesome. And I feel like... And we're talking about things like leukemia and, you know, of course, again, you know, nobody wants to think about, you know, 4 or 5 year olds having leukemia, but the idea of, you know, their brother's stem cells being used to treat that, it's powerful. And, you know, and I've gotten to actually, when we do lab tours sometimes, and we've actually had families who are clients of ours that have used their stem cells for those types of treatments, and meeting like those brothers that are now like, you know, 12 and 14 or whatever, and knowing that his baby brother had stem cells that kept him alive and that he got in treatment is just, that's the most powerful thing. And that's when I look and say, this is a good thing. You know, so everybody calm down with your controversial bullshit and just recognize the good thing that is happening with science and the things that are made possible because of science.
Thanks, Skippy. Without science, I'd probably been dead a long time ago.
Yeah. I definitely. I mean, you had three children. Childbirth was like knocking women out left and right.
No kidding. I have a prediction about, I think the first organ they're going to nail is the liver, because of its own self-regenerative properties being so strong. So, just saying. That's my prediction. Okay, so how can we support? I mean, your company supports, that's good. If you work in a science-adjacent field, ask your boss, ask your company, like, hey, you know, are you donating to these science programs? Is there a way we can help support them? And I found something, like, I know some of you out there are nerds and you've been part of SETI program or whatever, where you're letting your PC do some of the, you know, in its downtime, do some research, run the data stacks. And there is a program, if you go to folding.stanford.edu, where you can donate your PC's downtime to help Stanford in their scientific research. So, it's free. Anyone can do that who has a computer. Jan?
I think that mute buttons are really effective when they're pushed.
Yes, you were very, very muted, but yeah, just distributed computing is a free way that like everyone out there can donate if they don't have money to throw at it.
And definitely, just throw some stuff out there, you know, and look for organizations that are doing something positive that you feel good about. And like I said, like you said, universities are a great avenue for that as well.
Yeah, a lot just of times, don't just give it to some mad scientist, because we don't want Frankenstein.
or like I said, nothing, but there's so many avenues. So just get out there, help donate. Science is cool, man. I'm so excited I get to work where I get to do fun stuff like that. I love it.
What are you most anticipating coming up?
I am looking forward to getting some Geek Grill stickers in my mailbox, yo.
Yeah.
So I am really excited. So become a patron at a certain level. You'll see where it says Geek Grill swag bag. Geek Grill swag bag gives you stickers. So if you become a patron at that level, you get stickers. If you're already a patron and you're like, I don't get fucking stickers, that's because you need to reassess your level, because I updated them. And the level that you're at is outdated and doesn't exist anymore. So you can stay on it if you want to, or you can throw us an extra buck or two a month and get yourself some stickers. So I'm really excited about that.
And I want to give a little shout out to my husband for helping update the beautiful logo that Loon designed. So it's got a cute little girly .com on it. Thanks, honey.
Yes. Well done, Rob, for sure. So that's just a little opportunity for me to throw that out there about being a patron. Just saying, patron. I have been streaming more, and my green screen came in the mail yesterday, and then the green screen came in the mail hopefully today. So I will be playing with new toys. I had a benefactor who donated a little bit to my stream, so that hopefully I will be able to play with the green screen, and that will be cool, and then you won't see my bathroom door anymore. That would be nice, because sometimes I forget to close it, and people are like, you're streaming with your bathroom door open. I'm like, okay, it's just a fucking mirror. Like, it's fine, but, you know, I get it. Excited to get that set up. I think I'm going to do some rearranging in my office to just make it more functional for streaming, and I'm excited about that, too. So, looking forward to more streams. Make sure that you check that out, and, yeah, that's what I got going on.
Excellent. Well, I am looking forward to D&D tonight.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Yeah, you get to play too. Which reminds me, as soon as I'm off, I should make sure Rob remembered to launch Fantasy Grounds. Because we have a new player coming in who needs to be making.
Yeah, he seems really nice. I'm excited.
Cool. Yeah, I'm glad you got to get acquainted with him. And I found out that he has been a DM. So hopefully, rather than... that could go two ways. Hopefully he's not a big old power gamer and will be a little more sympathetic than some of our current players who will not be named.
Rules.
Just trying players. As hard as they can to throw a monkey wrench in too, though. Like, I'm going to do something really fucking stupid right now. Like, because that's hard on your DM.
I
want
to poke it with my sword. Why are you poking it with your sword?
I'm going to sit in the obviously cursed chair. See, you weren't around for that. Holy crap, man. So anyway, I'm going to plant the magic seeds. Sure. Anyway, I'm looking forward to more Hannibal stories. Hannibal is in California right now doing some amazing, super awesome gigs and like at the Magic Castle and stuff. And I was like, if you see Chris Hardwick and those people, like, give... like, I don't have stickers with me. Tell them about me. Like, ask him to pimp us, but I just kind of subtly hinted as I could. But anyway, he's having a great time and sharing really amazing stories with me. He's gotten to meet Paul Rubens, showed up for a show, and he got to hang out with him. And then the artist Olivia, who's an amazing painter, does like pinup art and things, came to a show and loved his show, and they got to hang out, and she gave him an original painting. So, yeah. And he's my friend, and he's on a high.
Awesome.
He's having a good, successful trip, and he's going to come back with awesome stories. He was texting me. He was like, this place is so full of nerds. You would be so happy here. I'm like, I want to be with you.
With the nerd people.
Right? I want to be all the beautiful nerd people. But I can't afford to just go to California. I need to get cooler so people pay me to go do cool things. So, yes, Jen already made the Patreon pitch. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
No, oh, no, just to clarify, reviews. Though, patreon.com/grills.
Yes, not / geek girls like I said once right at the top of the damn show, like a weenie.
No, I think you did it right.
No, not this time, but a different time. Oh, my mother is calling me.
Sorry, Mom.
Please, it doesn't cost anything, just like it doesn't cost anything to donate some computer time, but you don't even need to do that. Pop over to iTunes and leave us a review. It really helps other people find us, too. And don't forget to share our posts when you download it. I know there's a button in my iTunes app that I can share it by all different kinds of messages and everything. Like, I can just text it to somebody. They're like, oh, yeah, I keep forgetting to tell this person about this show I think they'd like. Go ahead and do that. Share it on Facebook, Twitter. We love you, and it really helps us out. I've been happy to see a lot more of that happening. It makes us feel all warm and fuzzy inside. So where can we find you on the internet?
You can find me at The Jen Says on Twitter. I have been streaming at twitch.tv/TheJenPlays. I have decided that 6:30 PST Pacific time is going to be my regular on Saturdays. It's going to be my regular recording time for the live recording of the Jen Says podcast. But you can definitely listen to that on Spreaker. And the best way to keep up with any content that I'm making or putting out there, or if I'm going live, is actually my Facebook page, which is going to be facebook.com/TheJenPlays. I try to keep it up to date with everything I'm doing. So definitely give it a like, follow me there. It is the best way. Oh, and beep, 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 beep. I did get an update this morning that the Jen Says podcast is now available on iTunes. Yay!
I can be reached at 9of12, that's NINEOF12, on Twitter and Twitch, and you can hear me on the Part-Time Gamers podcast. Thanks for listening, everyone. Good game.
Good game.
GG!
GG!
If you enjoyed the show and have the quill skill to shriek speech, leave us a 5-star unique critique on iTunes or thrill us with the size of your handbill by spilling goodwill into our tills at patreon.com/grills. We can also be found windmilling around Facebook and YouTube at facebook.com/geekgrills and youtube.com/geekgrills, where we like to chill. Tweet your siren songs where the throngs belong on Twitter at geekgrills, where we're dressed to kill. For more info on the show, though, go to geekgrills.com, where you can find previous episodes, show notes, and current contest information. Send us your psalms and qualms to geekgrills@gmail.com or give us a ring at 508-474-5577, where we can hear your lovely voice sing the zing thing. Thanks for listening.